You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Send a private plane out for us, Key. You know, come down, check it out.
Zoom.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
That was fast.
Zoom.
Yeah. What?
How we came in. I was expecting to see a shot of the
scenic.
Scenic shot of the Brooklyn Bridge for the 18,000th time.
Beautiful East River. Beautiful water, yeah.
I mean, I guess if that's what you think. I don't think it's beautiful, but. Oh, well.
They cleaned up that river. It used to be you dip your toe in it, and there would be nothing but bone when you took it out. It's like
if that's a cleaned up river, then we have a problem.
I'm telling you, man, the rivers around here are much cleaner than they used to be.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Don't make me think about it. It's raining.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's raining.
Yes. Welcome to that time of the year.
Yeah.
Rain and cold weather.
Cold rain is the worst.
It's not the worst kind of weather. Cold. Yet.
No, it's not cold right now. But I'm saying when it gets cold,
raining.
You feel it on the horizon. It's right there.
And the people can't drive here, so you're going to be 7 hours to wherever you're going. He'll be 7 hours. I'll be another seven. People can't drive here when it rains, at all.
I would concur on that, Max.
Just like when people see an accident in L.A., they get nosy on the freeway.
Yeah.
And
yeah
on the other side of the freeway,
rubbernecking.
Like if you don't drive.
Well, I would have that when I would leave here to go back to my place in Brooklyn. It would take me like 25 minutes sometimes sitting on the traffic
or
on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Or if someone's pulled over getting a ticket on the freeway, everybody's got to slow down and look at you and make you feel like you did something really wrong.
Just pull the cameras out. Mind your business and keep going, and there won't be traffic.
That's I want as many eyes on me as possible. See, bring the cameras out.
But back in
the day, everything's okay.
Back in the day, they used to pull you out of the car to give you the ticket. Now they let you sit in the car. But they used to pull you actually physically out of the car and give you the ticket. Everybody would ride by and see you get a ticket because I've gotten tickets before. And it just didn't feel right because people looking at you like you really did something wrong.
Like a perp. That's a setup. Like a perp. That's... Not a perp walk, a perp stand.
It's like I'm only getting a blanking ticket. Just move on. Jeez.
So I thought actually, here's a transition out of nowhere. I thought actually last night's game, there was something at stake for Jameis Winston. To me, there was something at stake for Jameis Winston because he was a guy who had his own team. He's a franchise quarterback, number one overall, the whole thing. And it didn't look like a marquee matchup exactly, right? Missing guys on offense. Seattle missing Russell Wilson. They don't have a defense anyway. But that's a road game. The Geno Smiths of the world, the guys who never really quite made it, they never got to really be a franchise quarterback, they're backups. You have a chance to go on the road and win a game by hook or by crook. I don't care. But come out of Seattle with a win. That's what he did. I thought that was actually a sneaky big win for Jameis Winston and the Saints.
Nah.
You're not. I can't tell you.
You can't sell me on that one.
You're not buying?
Last night, man.
No, it was actually a really good game.
You think it was a really good game?
Yeah, because it was on ESPN, Monday Night Football. It was great.
Oh, okay. Great. Yes, now
great
I
game.
Understand. Yes, great game.
We did
yes.
Amazing job, Lewis yes. Riddick in the game.
Yes.
Jameis played as well as he could in the rain. I mean, there's really – it's hard to play in the rain, man. Everything is just sloppy. You're trying to hold on to the football. You're trying not to make mistakes.
But he did hold on to the football.
And I think that was extremely important for them to get this win because they move on to 4-2. And a lot of people aren't talking about the New Orleans Saints because it almost feels like they haven't played in a year. And then we watched them lose to the Carolina Panthers, and everybody's like, ah – but they got to remember that Sean Payton's assistant coaches were not even there. On top of that, to go into Seattle, no matter how bad Seattle's football team may be playing, it's tough to go into that building and travel all the way there in the rain and just the 12th man, all that's very, very difficult. And the New Orleans Saints were kind of shorthanded to a degree when you look at it. Michael Thomas isn't back yet. Traquan just got back. And when you say, well, it was a sneaky win for Jameis, it was a good win.
That's what I'm saying.
Because this is his team now. His team in Tampa is long gone. I think a lot of people, Jay, were expecting him to, you know, botch things in his opportunity as a starting quarterback, and he hasn't done it so far.
Well, I mean, having Alvin Kamara really helps, considering there's a lack of pass catcher, right? We're talking about your nephew, your cousin, your nephew coming back when eventually he can. That's going to be a huge boost. But this defense is legit, man. I mean, this defense is why they win games at times. Look, you know, they record 5 sacks, third down conversions, were heavily favored in their direction. And, you know, you go to these kind of games at home for Seattle, you look at Seattle's defense, I mean, their defense kind of doomed Geno Smith towards the end there, right? You talk about the roughing the passer, which, you know, kind of change the chemistry of the game, and then also the offsides, which those things lead to, you know, New Orleans being able to kick a field goal to win the game. I mean, that puts it in game-winning territory. These little things matter when you're trying to win these type of games.
Jay, you know what I love? Key, we have to listen back to the beginning and the end of what you just said, because I started out by saying it's kind of a sneaky big win. You said no, but by the end, you said it was a good win. So it was a good win.
Well, no, it was a good win. It's not sneaky. I expected for them to go into New Orleans or into Seattle and win the game. I didn't expect for the Saints to go in and lay an egg. That's why I wasn't sneaky to me is when you creep up on them and you pop them like the Jets did against the Tennessee Titans.
Let me be
that
clear.
That was a sneaky win because it was like, where did this come from?
Let me be clear. What I mean by sneaky is it's a Monday night game. It's in prime time, but Seattle's not really Seattle if they don't have Russell Wilson, right? Like that's a team where you look, you go, all right, we can get this win on the road. It's sneaky big because on the one hand, you're like, well, Seattle's not much. But to go on the road, especially wound up bad weather, you're facing the backup quarterback, come out with a win. Not excuses, a win. And Jameis did not turn the ball over, and they won. That's big for him. To me, that's big for him.
Well, it's his team, though. They're not looking to grab another quarterback at no time soon. They're looking to have him there for many years to come. If this game was in New Orleans, they would have utilized him differently in the pass game. He'd have been able to really do his stuff. But I like what Sean was able to do with him. I like the fact that Alvin Kamara, Sean realized that that's the guy. I think Alvin touched the ball 30 times in this particular game, both on the ground and in the air. He realized, okay, I've got to utilize this guy because he is a do-it-all guy for us. And this is how you get a 13-10 win, is by putting a guy in a situation to be successful. When I talk about gurus and I talk about great offensive play callers, this is the type of guy Sean Payton is. He comes from the Bill Parcells, Todd Haley mindset of thinking like, that guy is better than you, and we're going to throw him the ball, hand him the football, because he gives us the best chance.
It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Jameis Winston on the importance, talking to Lisa Salters on the importance of Alvin Kamara.
He always doing everything for us. You know, I'm just so grateful to have him as a teammate. And his skill, talent, his intelligence is above par.
No turnovers tonight. You told us that what Sean Payton has really taught you is not to do too much, not to try to do too much. How were you able to translate that onto the field tonight?
Just taking what they give me. You know, there was a tough out battle. They played some great defense. We won this game in the trenches. We executed at the end.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests in the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, you just heard Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Jay, you were going to say something right before we played the sound.
Oh, this short yardage passing to Alvin Kamara, man. It's like when you see a player of his caliber and his speed, when he turns and he has that feel to open up to, it creates so many problems. You don't need the deep ball when you have that threat right there.
Oh, it's the best, Jay. When you got an option route, and I would – run that sort of deal, but I would, instead of coming out of the backfield, I think I came out of the backfield a few times in my career, but for the most part, they would motion me across the formation. Mm-hmm. So you get the same thing. And when you come across the formation, and I already know, as soon as I come across and I look, I'm like, oh, it's man-to-man. Or if the guy is outside, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm getting ready to break inside. If he's inside, I know I'm getting ready to break outside. If he's off of me, oh, I'm getting ready to sit. Mm-hmm. And you just know that quick suddenness. And you just, bam, and you catch it. It's so much real estate that once you get the ball in your hand, all you got to do is a track meet at that point. And it just, I'm sitting there watching it last night. It was just sitting there like a kid in a candy store knowing, oh, I'm like, oh, okay, here you go. Oh, angle route, bam, inside. Oh, bam, outside. It was just Because Alvin Kamara, when he gets the ball in his hands, man, he's just wicked with it.
Well, also, that shows maturity by Jameis Winston, right? Like, I'm taking what the defense has given me. Like, I'm not forcing
That's what I'm saying.
I'm keeping it simple. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. He did not turn the ball over, and they won on the road in the rain. A dynasty that's over before it even began.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, you get wherever you get your podcasts, wherever there's communication anywhere in the universe. All right, we've talked a lot this year about what's going on with the Chiefs.
I'm sorry, every time I see Patrick Mahomes hit his neck, I just hold my neck. Why are you – I do not need chapstick. I'm fine.
I was asking if you wanted something.
No, I don't share chapstick. That's disgusting. What?
I mean, if you offer someone chapstick on camera, you're kind of saying they need it.
Yes.
No, I thought he said.
He's referring to my lips. See, that's what he does.
We don't talk about lips. We leave that alone.
Oh, jeez. Stop.
You brought attention to
it. Yeah, you're the one holding out the chapstick. Like, here, you need some.
You didn't offer me any. I my lips are not so great.
And I didn't say they're like this.
Well, what do you want me to do? Swipe it with my finger? That's disgusting.
Yeah.
You're not going to wipe that off
before
you
put
that back. See, I can't.
You use other
I'm a germaphobe.
You didn't use other people's deodorant at Duke?
What?
When they put
the spray? Yeah, the spray.
You know you use the
spray. I don't use the roll nuts.
You know.
That's where you know your ass has used it. That's why.
You said what?
He's telling on himself a little bit, Jay.
You definitely use other people's roll on in college.
I'm sure I probably did.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay, I probably did, though. But I'm not going to sit up here and lie to the public.
I'm not lying to the public.
But even that's better.
I use the spray on joining college, man.
Around the mouth.
The right. What?
You like right. Making that sound effect. That's the second time you went to
it. Well, because I'm reiterating a point.
I know Jay's lying because I've been in college locker rooms and dorms and all over the place. Yes, he's lying. It's okay, though. I'm going to let him get away with this
sharing chapstick. Nasty.
And you've shared chapstick before.
I have never shared chapstick with you.
You know, Jay, you
not
could
with
see
me,
it a different
not
way.
With anybody.
Lies, and more lies.
So when Yates, stop yelling,
so,
Yates.
So here's what I'm going to say with your handsome devil of a self.
Thank you. Thank you.
So when we had makeup artists here.
Yes.
And
they put it on a Q-tip.
It's shit.
Nope. They put it on a Q-tip.
It's
bop. You apply. You throw the Q-tip away. You don't take it, swipe it with your finger. I'm a germaphobe. I don't do that.
Okay, so now I'm going to go to Mr. Columbia. Is that not sharing?
Well, but it's not what he's talking about is the spreading of germs.
That's not what I
yes,
said.
Yes, it is sharing it is sharing chapstick. Yes.
Thank you.
Victoria.
Let's move the show along.
Don't air horn his invalid points.
Jay, there's something that you're missing here. There's something that you're missing.
Been a lawyer.
It's so annoying.
Do you see? It's like a bonding thing with Key. He's saying he would share that with you, like it's all in the family type thing. That's the thing you're missing. It's kind of a sweet gesture.
So you're saying
in a way.
I should be appreciative of the fact that we're building.
Yeah. There's another way to look at it. You don't have to be like, oh, you're nasty. You could be like, well, you know what? I'm good because, you know, whatever was COVID, whatever there is, you know.
No, I thought he wanted some. I thought he was saying give him some chapstick. I really did.
It's full of a damn lie, man. Hey, Max, we were sitting here the whole time. You know how Q Messi just holding out the chapstick like, hey, you need some?
Hey, you need some?
Off air, I thought he said he wanted some chapstick.
You thought I said. I would just say, hey, can I borrow some chapstick?
You know who, needs some chapstick or some terrible transition like that? The Kansas City Chiefs.
That's not really what I was saying. I'll let you know during the break what I was saying.
I want to get to this so we can do it before
What's
the commercial.
Wrong with you, man?
The Chiefs, we've talked a lot about how they don't look the same this year, right? They have a 43% chance to make the playoffs, according to ESPN's FPI, at this moment. That's behind, let me just tell you, who has a better chance, according to FPI, to make the playoffs than the Chiefs. The Colts, the Browns, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Ravens, the Titans, and the Bills in the AFC. So that led Michael Irvin to say this yesterday on First Take.
Every game you go in, they're still going to say, well, these are the Super Bowl. They went back-to-back Super Bowls. That's right. What we're playing. So now you got to match that intensity when you have all the doubt that you have. I remember Dion coming in that room one day when we were talking. We had just lost another game. And he's like, Mike, we got to do something about it. I looked at him. I said, Ty, it's over. Yeah. The dynasty is over. That dynasty right now, as we know it, the Kansas City Chiefs, it's over. They will not get to the playoffs this year.
How was it ever a dynasty, though? It never was a dynasty. You got to win multiple Super Bowls for it to be a dynasty. You can't just go to a Super Bowl. Do we ever talk about the Buffalo Bills that went to four Super Bowls and didn't win one? Do we ever say that it's a dynasty?
If they would have won one of them.
The Dallas Cowboys are a dynasty.
The Bulls were a dynasty.
The San Francisco 49ers were a dynasty. The Chicago Bulls, the LA Lakers, the Boston Celtics, the New York Yankees, those are dynasties. When you show up at the Super Bowl and don't win and go to an AFC championship game and don't advance, the New England Patriots were dynasties. So I don't know.
What about this, Keith?
I get it. I get what we wanted to do.
Hold on, time out. What about this?
Early on, but it's not a dynasty.
What about this? What if you were to say?
Sorry, James.
What if you were to say an AFC dynasty? In other words,
nobody says
they're running the AFC.
Nobody does that.
You know what I think happens here is at the beginning of the year, everybody kept talking about, oh, this is a dynasty. They could win it, and you start naturally thinking that, even though it hasn't been the case.
Yeah, it's not a dynasty though, dog. It's like I played on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers NFC South dynasty. Because we were going to the play. Like, no, it doesn't. Could we have been a dynasty? Absolutely.
Well, 100%. Let's get more
into dynasty.
I think
people think it's a dynasty because of all the championships they were given before they won them. Like, that's why people are saying the dynasty is over. It's because they're saying they're not going to win these championships that they were given two years ago.
These things are
you
in flux. And a lot of it.
Something
but
just,
people did. People started listing, oh, they're going to win five of the next eight.
Given.
And now people are going back on that, saying they're not going to win five of the next eight. So they're saying that dynasty, projected is over.
Inception. It's something that's been planted in people's minds, and they take that as reality.
Well,
actually not been the case. Yes.
But I think I tried to warn everybody how difficult it was.
My first air horn.
To win a championship. One. You remember, Jason. JD, you remember.
What?
But let's say, hold on, let's say, because a lot of this is perception, and when you're in the midst of it, it's hard to tell what's happening in the long run. Let's say they don't even make the playoffs this year, or they make it, but they don't win a game. And then next year they do a little something, but they don't. But then the year after they win the Super Bowl.
Still not a dynasty.
Wait a minute. And the year after they get to an AFC championship game. I would say if you take a 7-8 year period, like Tom Brady and the New England Patriots had a dynasty for 20 years. There were many years where they didn't get to the Super Bowl or they didn't win the Super Bowl.
I don't know what many years they had where they didn't get to the Super Bowl.
Where they didn't win the Super Bowl.
But in that 20-year
stretch, they sandwiched it with Super Bowls.
They lose, they go run two, they win one, lose one, then they go win two.
Get there at all.
Yeah, but Max, you're talking about two Super Bowls over 5 years, three Super Bowls over 6 years. That's a dynasty.
Yeah. Let's say the Chiefs wind up in a 6-8 year period with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback, Andy Reid as the coach, right? So you have the nucleus, some of the same pieces. They win two Super Bowls. They wind up going to four. They wind up in six AFC championship games. To me,
I get what
you're
doing.
In dynasty range.
Yeah, I get what you're doing. Evan and I were just talking. So Mike pretty much said that the dynasty is over because that's what you think this is a dynasty, right, moving forward because of the potential for them to win more Super Bowls. And you're saying that it's still open-ended that they can still form one. That's what you're arguing.
In other words, sometimes when you're in the middle of
conversating.
It, Key J, when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to see. Are these dots going to be connected eventually with another Super Bowl, another little run, two or three AFC championship games over 4 or 5 years? Is this whole period going to be connected with the same quarterback, same coach? Then you can call it a dynasty.
It's going to be in the next 4 years, you won't even recognize the Kansas City Chiefs, other than maybe Patrick Mahomes. In the next 4 years, you won't even recognize them. In the next 4 years,
you think they'll get back to a Super Bowl in the next 4 years?
They might get to the Super Bowl this year. I don't know, but I'm not foolish enough to jump out on the edge of the Brooklyn Bridge and jump in the water with the rest of you fools. As I told Jay, and at the time I think Zubin was working with us, or maybe Allen. No, it was Zubin early on about how hard it is to win one Super Bowl, let alone a string of them to put you in a dynasty category. As I've always said, Evan and Jay, we on this show before, people act like Super Bowls are M&Ms. They just in a bowl and you can just grab it. Doesn't work that way.
So Key, in college, my three-year record was 95-13. We lost in Sweet 16 my freshman year, my junior year, lost to the team that lost in the national championship game. We won the championship my sophomore year. We won the ACC every year and ACC tournament. I still wouldn't consider that to be a dynasty.
No, you won.
I wouldn't consider that to be a dynasty. You got to win multiple championships.
You won one championship.
Yes.
If you had won three,
now you're talking.
I'd be like, oh yeah. But Duke's program,
Graham, yes,
is a dynasty.
Dynasty
is a dynasty.
Yes.
And it's not. It's nothing. It's just that I want the respect of what dynasty is in football, especially. Give me that respect. Don't just be throwing it up against
as
the wall.
As a player said,
yeah,
media
give me that respect,
throwing
man.
Out
Come
the
on,
word
man.
Dynasty. Yeah,
please, y'all act like winning Super Bowls is just, they just handing them out. Back your car up. We got some.
I want to say
you.
There were how many years between Patriots Super Bowls? I forgot, but there were a gang of years between Super Bowls, but they got connected. Let's see what happens with the Chiefs and Mahomes. Speaking of Mahomes, we're asking at Key J and Max, if you could start your franchise with one quarterback drafted since 2018, that's post-Patrick Mahomes. So we don't all just say, no, Patrick Mahomes. Who would it be? So here are the candidates. Lamar, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, et cetera, et cetera. Kyler Murray, be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Arizona's still unbeaten. But will they stay atop Key's real rankings?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Like that? Was that the Inspector Gadget beat? All guests on the Goodyear Hotline We'll get to Key's real rankings in a second, but we were just talking about the Chiefs dynasty. So let's have Troy in Texas weigh in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Troy?
My question and comment is for Deshaun.
Deshaun? You just call him Deshaun?
Yeah.
That's okay, man. I've been called worse.
Go ahead, Troy.
Go ahead, Troy. I've been called worse.
So, the Astros are fixing. When the Astros win this World Series, that'll be three times in 5 years they've gone. They've won two. Does that make them a dynasty? And the only thing that would have made this win better is they played some team called the Dodgers. But okay. They weren't good enough to get there.
Here we
the only
go.
Thing would have been better is if they'd played the Dodgers. Hey,
I see you listen to our show. Thank you for listening so much, Troy, in Texas. Special circumstances, I would say, for their dynasty. One, meaning the first one, they cheated. Two, there's a new head coach, new manager in Dusty Baker and a new general manager. So there's special circumstances on this one.
I can't do it. I can't give them a dynasty considering they cheated.
Well, I said they cheated.
Yeah, but the Patriots were scandalized by cheating, and they're still a dynasty, right?
I don't know that they proved. Yeah. I don't know anyone proved that the Patriots cheated.
But maybe the Astros, like the Patriots, if you start to win a lot, period, then people are like, well, okay, fine, they cheated here or they suspected to be cheated there, but they've won too much.
There has to be some kind of purity. Like, and when something's proven like that, I can't accept that as a dynasty. As an athlete, I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe as a fan, you guys want to. As an athlete, exactly. I can't accept
that. I hear you.
Because, first of all, nobody got fired from the Patriots.
1,000%.
Okay, people got let go in Houston. So it's like special circumstances. That's all. This one, if they win it, I tip my hat off to them because Dusty Baker won, and they didn't cheat, too. They did it the legit way.
Baseball, because it's more kind of probabilistic than football or certainly than basketball, you probably have to do a little less to be considered a dynasty. It's hard to get to the World Series, three rounds of playoffs, funky things happen. But if
basketball might be the easiest.
Yeah, because the best team usually wins, right? So if you have the best nucleus, you're going to reel off a bunch of wins. Baseball, were the Giants a dynasty? They won three World Series in 5 years, which is very hard to do. But in between, they didn't make the World Series.
Yeah.
That's a dynasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Yankees in the late 90s
won
four out of five World Series. That's never going to happen.
That's not even a conversation even have.
Right,
it's simple.
But that can't be the standard because that's very unlikely to happen again. You got to make a standard.
That is the standard. That's why you don't have a lot of dynasties in baseball.
Part of the Astros is they have also been to five straight ALCS. They have had a run of dominance in the American League.
And you just used the proper word. Run of dominance.
Yes.
All right, move along.
How many championships do you have to win to be, like, is there a minimum? You have to win more than one to be a dynasty, clearly. You need to win at least two championships, and they need to be connected by success in between with a similar nucleus at key positions. Is that what the definition is?
I think you have to win three.
Oof.
Well,
it's a lot.
Two is more reasonable for me.
Like, if you win two and get to another couple,
three's hard.
I understand that, but I was asked to lay out, so I won't comment. Hmm.
Let's get to Key's real rankings, which are brought to you by Dell. See if there are any dynasties in the offing. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Number 8.
Key's algorithms. Here we go.
Jay, be quiet. Cincinnati Bengals sit at number 8. They climb into the rankings for the first time in a decade. I think I've been doing this longer than that, but this is the first time we'll see the Cincinnati Bengals in the top 8 of the rankings. They went and opened up a can of you-know-what on the Baltimore Ravens. They certainly have shown everybody in America that they are for real with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Mixon and just all of the special things that they are doing in Cincinnati. Hats off to them sitting at number 8.
Number 7.
Number 7, the Tennessee Titans bounced back for the second time in 2 weeks. First time they took care of the Bills, and this time the Tennessee Titans did what? They just smashed the Kansas City Chiefs. James, Patrick Mahomes. Oh, is he done? Should they trade him? Should they do this? Is Andy Reid going to retire at the end of the year? The Tennessee Titans has caused all that ruckus up in Kansas City by annihilating them, even to the point where the running back is throwing touchdown passes on that defense. They sit at number seven.
Number six.
Here's a team that have run off two straight wins in a row despite not having their head coach anymore in John Gruden, but Rich Bisaccia. They're playing for him. Derek Carr got back to MVP-type form. They're passing the ball to everybody, not just one person in Waller, but multiple guys on the offensive side of the ball had receptions in this particular game against the Philadelphia Eagles. They got down 7 points, but didn't matter. They didn't panic. They just ran off 30 unanswered on the Eagles to win that football game in Las Vegas. Watch out for the Raiders. They could win the division and make a strong push in the AFC.
Number five,
the Rams. I mean, what else you going to say? Matthew Stafford just dealing and willing against the guy that he was traded for in Jared Goff. Sean McVay certainly realized he needed an upgrade at that position, and all he has done since then is just put up amazing, crazy statistical numbers to push himself into the MVP conversation. The Rams sit atop right behind the Arizona Cardinals in the division. This is going to be a big game next time they see each other in the desert.
Number four.
Relax. The Green Bay Packers, after losing to the New Orleans Saints on opening day, all they've done is won week in and week out. Aaron Rodgers is dealing and willing. Even though he may be without Devontae Adams this week on Thursday night against the Arizona Cardinals, he's not worried about it. He's going to relax because he has the likes of Randall Cobb, the likes of Rodgers. Not Aaron Rodgers, but Imani Rodgers. Aaron Jones in the backfield. He still has some tools to work with. Let's see if they can hold off the Arizona Cardinals and stay in those rankings.
Number three.
You took it off my board. Who was my third team? Oh, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and mighty Tom Brady. All he continues to do is get younger and younger day after day, week after week. And to the point where he's having fun now. He's appearing on every show, cracking jokes, poking fun. On top of that, making some defenders really mad at him because he continues to just slice and dice. Tom Brady, could he get any younger? Tampa Bay Buccaneers are rolling.
Number two,
the team that was number one in my poll ranking last week were the Arizona Cardinals. I dropped they ass because I had a smarty pants from Arizona on yesterday talking.
So spiteful.
I was like, what is this going to be?
So spiteful.
Well, he came on and said some stuff. So since they were struggling with the Houston Texans in the first quarter, I decided to drop them to number two so that the Red Sea can get all over me on social media, Jay.
Try to tell y'all, athletes, man, we petty.
Yeah.
We petty out here.
Don't mess with me. I'll put that woo-woo on you. Number one. The Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are number one. Even though they were off last week and didn't play, they're my number one team just because Gambino messed with me. And, hey,
I was wondering
don't
what
mess
the explanation would be.
Don't mess with me.
It's like they're coming off
Leave
a bye.
Alone.
Arizona just won 31-5. How did they get dropped?
Yes. Now it makes sense.
It's my
quarter.
Rankings, and I do what I want to do. Well. And they say, well, why aren't the Buffalo Bills on here? Because they didn't play. That's why.
Well, there you go. There you have it. It's a good explanation.
And they lost the week before?
Try to tell you, don't figure out the variables in Key's algorithm. You can't.
It's week to week.
You can't figure it out.
You leave me alone, Arizona. I'll have you number one. Otherwise, I'll have you out of the playoffs. I'll put that juju on you.
The Packers and Cardinals are two of the top four teams in Key's real rankings. They play Thursday night to open week 8 in the NFL. The Packers likely will be without Devontae Adams, who tested positive for COVID-19. For more on that, let's bring in Dan Graziano, our NFL insider. Good morning, Dan.
What's up, Dan?
What's going on?
Don't mess with me, Dan.
The Bills didn't play and their quarterback's healthy. They're not on the list.
Nope.
The Cowboys didn't play and their quarterback's not healthy and they're number one.
I'm biased.
So,
well, there he is.
Yeah. Honest.
Dan, right. What's the
Welcome
latest
to
on Devontae Adams?
What's the latest? Was that the question?
Yeah, what's the latest on him?
Yeah, on the COVID-19 reserve list, obviously he's vaccinated, so we assume it's a result of a positive test. Otherwise, there's really no reason he'd be on there. He has to test negative twice with 24 hours in between the tests and then get cleared by doctors in order to play Thursday night. It's honestly unlikely. We've seen the league. We've seen teams be very conservative with these cases as they're bringing players back from the COVID list, even if they're vaccinated, even if they manage to test negative. Oh, I should also add he has to be completely symptom-free So the odds of him turning all that around in time to play Thursday are pretty slim. I would think the Packers have to prepare to play without him.
What would it be like if he does not play in this game? How significant is it, Dan?
I mean, it's just a receiver. Like, how big a deal are those guys, right? Like, it's not a, you know, that's not a position where, no, I'm kidding. Look, it's he's the most important part of their offense outside the quarterback. Like, that we've talked about how they haven't found a number two receiver reliably to go with him. Alan Lazard has a big drive where he catches five passes. Rodgers can move things around to other people, but all that works off of the fact that they have Devontae Adams, and he's as reliable as he is, and defenses devote as much attention as they do to him. The significance of not having him on their offense, look, we've seen him miss a game or two here and there over the last couple of years. Just within the, you know, the confines of this season and his importance to this team, he's probably as important as anybody in the league outside of Derrick Henry when you get to non-quarterbacks. So, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty tough for them. Against, by the way, a team that's absolutely rolling, and you're going to need to score a lot of points to beat.
Yeah, I think it is extremely important to have him on the field, but I've seen Aaron Rodgers go to work without Devontae Adams out there in the past where, you know, we talked about ad nauseum, right, Dan, that he needed – a quarterback, a receiver. Why did they take Jordan Love? Why did they take Jordan Love? But yet and still, he's been dealing and willing. Lazar, you mentioned five targets on the drive. That certainly shows that there's a confidence that's building. He went out there and he said, hey, let's bring in Cobb. That certainly shows some things. Right. You got Rodgers there, and you got Aaron Jones in the backfield. So I think he could still make hay because it all really does start with Devontae Adams. But when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, the confidence in the other receivers certainly builds.
Yeah, let's play hot news or not news, guys. Let's just move on. I mean, facing the Cardinals short week, it's tough to lose your top receiver, but we hear you, Key. So here, let's get to some more items in the NFL. Deshaun Watson, hot news or not news, Dan Graziano, open to trade destinations besides the Dolphins.
Well, I don't think it's news. I just think what happened is, as the summer went on, the list of teams kind of narrowed, and it seemed like the Dolphins were the interested team that interested him the most. You go back to the spring, I mean, Carolina was hot after this guy before the allegations and the lawsuits hit, before they traded for Sam Darnold. So I think there's definitely, and part of the reason Houston has held firm on its price is because of the assumption that the market would expand at some point. I don't think it's new news. I just think it's sort of the evolution of this story.
Yeah, I think it's hot news. And the reason I think it's hot news, Dan, is because for so long we threw out maybe three teams, right? We threw out Carolina, yeah. We threw out Denver Broncos, and we threw out the Miami Dolphins since the beginning of time. And now all of a sudden Deshaun is open to going to other organizations and teams. Could it be such that he realizes that maybe his best opportunity to wind up playing in the National Football League again would be with anybody? I don't care. I'll go to New York Jets for crying out loud. I just want to play again. I'll go to Detroit Lions. I just want to play again, opposed to this hard bargain that the Houston Texans are trying to put together for Miami or Carolina. So that's hot to me.
Yeah, I would say hot news because I feel like this point, Dan, like beggars can't be choosers. And I know you may want to say like, hey, this is where I would like to go. But the reality is with everything that's looming on top of Deshaun Watson, like having another opportunity to play the game of football again should be the priority, in my opinion.
All right, hot news or not news? Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Dan.
I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to go to Miami and Miami wasn't meeting Houston's price, then you know it would behoove you to say that there are other teams in the mix, and then maybe that scares Miami into paying more. I mean, that's a potential strategy that could be at work here, right?
Yeah. Hot news or not news? Bengals win over the Ravens, Dan.
It's hot. I mean, they killed him in Baltimore. Like that was the statement game of the weekend, without a doubt. And that includes Tennessee's big win over Kansas City. I mean, this is the Bengals announcing that they're for real. They're a legitimate threat to win that division and contend in the AFC. And there's not much not to like with them right now. The fact that the defense played as well as it did against Lamar Jackson, to me, is almost a bigger deal than, you know, Burrow and Jamar Chase lighting it up, because we kind of knew that they could do that.
Yeah, this news is real hot, hotter than a nice pot of hot water, because when you think about it, this team has arrived, much like you said, sending a message to the rest of the division in particular the Ravens, because the Ravens was sitting at the top, that we are here, we are for real, and you're going to have to watch out for us down the stretch.
Plus, the Ravens have so many injuries, Dan. I would say hot news. I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule for the Bengals. I mean, a lot of winnable games there. I mean, the game against the Raiders, Chargers seem like tough games. Every other game, you think they would be favored.
Hot news. The Bengals were supposed to be bringing up the rear in this division, and they just beat the division leaders to kind of keep pace. That's hot news. You know, you have your quarterback go for a career game, wideout go for a career game. Dan, Jimmy G, staying the 49ers starter, hot news or not news?
Not news, because he's been the starter ever since they drafted Trey Lance. Kyle Shanahan's been clear about it. I mean, the hot news will be when they make a change, and it will happen at some point. They didn't move up to draft Trey Lance in order to just start Jimmy Garoppolo and watch him put mediocre performance after mediocre performance on tape. Look, at some point they'll make the switch, and it could be, you know, as early as next week if Trey Lance gets healthy. Remember, they're still bringing Trey Lance back from a knee injury, so they may not have that option available to them. So I think this is just more of the status quo with San Francisco as we await the inevitable decision to move on.
It's only hot news because our producer Evan tried to force this on me yesterday about Trey Lance being the star. That's the only reason why it's hot news.
Yeah, I guess it's not news, right? We exactly. Already knew this going into the season. Burrow or Herbert? That's next. Thank you, Dan. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.